Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi, this is Stuart Broad, and this is the Analyst Inside Cricket Podcast.
Jones, Bowden, he's got it! England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins!
Hello, and welcome to the Analyst Inside Cricket, one of the penultimate episodes before the Christmas break, and I hope you're all managing with these new restrictions knocking around the country. We're in Tier 3 now in London, so we can't go out, but luckily there is some good cricket to watch over the next few days. Actually, I'm hosting the Australia v India first test in Adelaide, a day-night game, so it means an early start for me at 2:30 a.m. Call and into the offices at Stratford for BT Sport starting at 4 a.m. Play in that Adelaide test match. So I need to set my alarm early. I'll have a little preview of that test match on this show. Also, some news about the county championship when the fixtures are starting for next year. That's out at 7 o'clock tomorrow morning, the fixtures in full. And we're also looking ahead to Joss Butler's appearance in our virtual cricket club. He's kindly giving up his time on behalf of the Professional Cricketers Trust. Thursday, 7 p.m, Joss Butler live in the Virtual Cricket Club. You can find that at worldsbestcricketclub.com. We'll give you some more details about that shortly. But that's exciting opportunity there to ask direct questions to the star batsman in England's one-day side and also listen to some of his tales from the last few months as well. And we've also got some extracts actually coming up from past appearances by some of the England players, past and present. We've got Alistair Cook talking about the delights of batting and Stuart Broad, who you just heard from earlier, talking about why he became a bowler and the fun that he has bowling fast for England. Just a little look ahead first to the Australia-India test match. Virat Kohli's been saying in the press conference that it's going to be high-voltage cricket. Well, we kind of know that already, of course. He's going to only be in the first test match. After that, he's returning to India to attend the birth of his first child. And because of the restrictions and various kind of quarantine arrangements that you have to do in these situations, he's not going to be able to get back for any of the other test matches, I don't think. So only one test match for Kohli to assert his authority. Very interesting sides, actually, for this first test match, with both teams nursing injuries at the top of the order. So no Rohit Sharma for India, no David Warner for Australia. So it means some quite untried opening pairs. Joe Burns will open, I think, with Matthew Wade for Australia. And for India, it's going to be Agarwal and Prithvi Shaw, two burgeoning young players, but without that much experience of opening in Australia. Agarwal actually opened in the series that India won a couple of years ago in the last couple of tests, but he hasn't had a huge amount of experience. Prithvi Shaw hasn't had any really at all. So very interesting challenge for both sets of teams and both opening pairs in particular. Australia likely to go with their fairly familiar pace attack. Mitchell Starc, who averages only 19 in day-night pink ball test matches in Adelaide. So he's a fearsome adversary in that format particularly. And of course, Pat Cummins and Josh Hazlewood will back him up with Nathan Lyon. For India, there's no Ishant Sharma, who's injured, but they have got Mohammad Shami and Jasprit Bumrah as well. And I think Yadav will be their third pace bowler with Ravi Ashwin as the spinner. So two quite similar bowling attacks in a way, although Australia have the added advantage of Mitchell Starc's 90 mile an hour plus left arm swinger. So a fascinating test match in prospect, that one, with the pink ball very much likely to move around a lot. So it'll be taxing for all batsmen on both sides. And Pujara, who was the big star of the 2 years ago triumph India achieved in Australia, he's back to bat at number three for India, but hasn't had an awful lot of cricket, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes. So that starts at 4 a.m. in the morning, Thursday English time, and goes on to about 11:30, so plenty of opportunity, even if you get up fairly late, to see the last session of play. As I said, the county championship fixtures are going to be announced in the morning by the ECB, and they are going to be starting, just a little tip for you here, on April the 8th, so a very early start for all the county teams. Another little plug, and that's for the Cricketer magazine, which is out. The Christmas edition is out on Thursday as well. You can subscribe to that by going to thecricketer.com/magazine. And it's one of my favourite editions of the year, actually, because, of course, it has, for a start, the Nick Newman cartoon on the front page with the Christmas theme. And he's done this year a sort of bio bubble with various vignettes of players going on inside it, like a sort of globe sort of effect almost. The one I like, actually, is a batsman at the crease, and then there's a computer at short leg, and the voice out of the computer is saying, "I'm Zoom sledging you." So maybe a bit of chat is going to go on in that Australia-India series like it did last time. There was a brilliant encounter, actually, during one test match between Tim Payne, keeping wicket captain of Australia, of course, and Rishabh Pant, the young, exciting wicketkeeper who's not in the India party this time. But it was hilarious, actually, because Pant himself quite likes a few verbals when he's keeping wicket. So Payne reciprocated by saying, I need a babysitter. If you fancy playing for Hobart Hurricanes, quite fancy getting a babysitter in, if you wouldn't mind looking after the kids. And then there was a brilliant shot at an event for both teams, given by the Australian Prime Minister, at which Pant was actually cradling both Tim Payne's kids. It was a brilliant shot. And it just shows, in a way, the spirit and the camaraderie that goes on between these two teams, which is a good thing to see. Although, you know, there's hostility on the field, there's friendship off it. And that is very much caused, of course, by the fact that all the players know each other from the IPL. So it'll be an interesting examination of both teams' skills on the field, and no doubt some banter as a result. I'm sure that the TV companies will get the stump mics ramped up as well when the spinners are on, which is always highly entertaining. OK, so as I said earlier, Jos Buttler is our guest tomorrow night, Thursday night, 17th of December, 7 p.m. in the Virtual Cricket Club. And we've had some great guests over the last 2 or 3 months, a real range of England stars, from Joe Root, Mark Wood, Stuart Broad, some retired stars like Alistair Cook and Graham Swan, really entertaining stuff. And you can join Jos Buttler in our Virtual Cricket Club by going to worldsbestcricketclub.com. It's £6 a month to join our club, but you do get 4 live events for that and opportunities to ask direct questions to our guests. And there's a special piece of memorabilia on offer tomorrow night as well, Thursday night, which is a signed bat by the Australia 2001 team, all-conquering team, in my view the best ever test match cricket team, featuring 7 all-time greats: Ponting, Warne, McGrath, Langer, Hayden, Gilchrist and Mark Waugh, and also Steve Waugh, you'd say, as well, actually. So some tremendous cricketers featured in that team. They're all signed this bat, which is available on offer tomorrow night in the Virtual Cricket Club. Now, no apologies for a bit of sentimental Christmas underlay music here, because this event, Jos Buttler's event, like all the previous ones in the Virtual Cricket Club, have been in aid of the Professional Cricketers Trust. And it is such an important charity. It supports a lot of cricketers who've fallen on hard times. There have been plenty during this unusual year. Players worried about their contracts, worried about their fitness, worried about their isolation, worried about their futures. They've had more than 80 calls, the Professional Cricketers Trust, with cricketers seeking help in some way. So it really is a very important charity, and that's why we've created this Virtual Cricket Club, to raise money for the charity, because they haven't been able to do the kind of fundraising they normally do in these unusual circumstances. So please try and support our cricket club, worldsbestcricketclub.com. The proceeds go to the Professional Cricketers Trust. Now, as I said, we've had some brilliant guests over the past few months, and I'm just going to play you a couple of extracts. One is from Alistair Cook on the batsman's dilemma. Do you focus on building up your strengths, or do you concentrate more on minimising your weaknesses? And also, we've got Stuart Broad on the tremendous challenge of being a bowler and why he became a bowler rather than a batsman. Would you say that it's better to work on your strengths and sort of leave your weaknesses a little bit alone, or is it better to build up your weaknesses and therefore you're slightly neglecting your strengths?
It's a brilliant question, because everyone says you should work on your weaknesses, but we had a thing, actually Andy Flower brought it in, that what makes you a world class, what's your world class strengths as a player? So certain players, well actually all of us, if you looked at that top order of Cook, Strauss, Bell, Peterson, Collingwood, Pryor, if I've missed him, Trott, sorry, every one of them had a world class area. You know, you look Matt Pryor, anything on a test match thing just outside off stump, he would have the ability to go, you know, carve it through the offside. Ian Bell's cover drive, world class. Jonathan Trott of his legs, world class. Strauss, he cutting, you know, all that. And we focused on that a lot more in that period of our dominance than we did our weaknesses. And I think it's a case of, it's a cert that we made a big shift on that. Obviously you have to. And then what we did with our weaknesses was be aware of them. And of course you've got to monitor them and you've got to keep training on them, but don't get fixated by trying to fix your weakness. It's being aware of it and realizing the dangers when you do a play cover drive, or do you know what I mean? And it's being able to work that into your technique. I always looked at Dravid as a great example. Like Dravid did kind of fiddle with the ball outside off stump on the fourth, fifth stump. That's where you look to bowl at him. He played it like, you know, sometimes he nicked it, of course, but he played it with some weird, like jabbing, like trying to ride it a little bit, not totally in the perfect book, in the perfect technical book, but he knew how to deal with that. And he kind of overcome it all the time. And I think it's a great way of looking about it. And hammer your strengths just as much as being aware of your weaknesses.
Have you ever questioned why you ever became a bowler? Or actually, do you think the pain you go through is almost sort of gives you more fulfillment when you're successful than being a batsman?
Yeah, I've never thought of it in that way, because in my professional career, all I've known is the hard work of bowling. You know, Stokesy is a really interesting one to talk to, because he obviously is an all-rounder, so he bats and bowls, but he does have test matches where he just bats if he's carrying a niggle, and he just bats at six and fields slip, and he hates it. He finds time just stands still if he's at slip, whereas I'm someone who likes to be involved in the game. I like the action of it. I like that feeling when the captain's like, right, your turn to bowl, come and have a go this end. And I think most cricketers, when they get to that level, like to be involved, like the pressure, like the chance to make a difference, change the momentum of a game. And I think as a batsman, you know, I used to say to Cookie, when he'd go and get 200, be out in the field, well, be batting for 150 overs and then go straight out into the field. It's on his feet sometimes for 4 or 5 days during a game. Whereas at least we work really hard for a day, might bowl a team out, and then we can watch our batsman bat.
You hope.
The toughest games, the worst you ever play, is when you concede 450, you get bowled out for 150 and you're back out there. You've basically not even taken your tape off your toes. And you're then bowling a brand new batsman, top order batsman, tired. And that's when they can really hurt you.
Well, there's plenty more extracts of our guests on our podcast over the last few weeks. You can go back and listen to the back catalogue. Just a massive thanks, massive gratitude to all those players for giving up their time. And we're really looking forward, of course, to Josh Butler in our virtual cricket club on Thursday night. Just one other little thank you, and that is to Beer 52, who've supported this podcast over the last couple of months with their craft beer offerings. We've been tasting them during the podcasts and during our virtual cricket club nights. And beer52.com/cricket, you can get your 8 free craft beers sent straight to your door for £5.95. If you get in quickly, you can get those before Christmas and enjoy those over the Christmas break. So it's beer52.com/cricket, and the Cricketer magazine is thecricketer.com/magazine. So hope you can subscribe to both of those. Look forward to your company on Thursday night in the Virtual Cricket Club, and thanks for listening.
Podcast Network.